Last week, Sesame Street announced they're introducing a new Muppet character with autism. Her name is Julia. She hasn't been introduced on the TV show yet, but Sesame Street created a storybook about her. Here's a clip from the online version of the book. It's called We're Amazing 1-2-3.
Elmo's daddy told Elmo that Julia has autism, he says. So she does things a little differently. Sometimes, Elmo talks to Julia using fewer words and says the same thing a few times.
Apoorva Mandavilli is with us now to talk about Julia and the significance of this new character and about autism more generally. She's a science writer and editor and editor-in-chief of the autism news website Spectrum. Apoorva, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So what was your reaction when you heard about this new Sesame Street character with autism?
Well, I'm delighted that Sesame Street is doing this. A lot of children have autism, and a lot more children are going to meet another kid with autism at some point. And it's wonderful that Sesame Street is helping to think about how these kids can see children with autism are different from them in some ways, but also like them in a lot of ways.
Is it important, whether in Sesame Street or elsewhere, to kind of, I guess, demystify this for kids and probably for grown-ups for that matter, to get rid of maybe some of the stigma that they might otherwise encounter?
Absolutely. I mean, I think in the storybook that you just played a clip from, there are a lot of examples of things that a lot of typical kids do, like Elmo, I think, in the storybook, likes to stack blocks, which a lot of kids like to do, but a kid with autism might line them up and might know all of the lyrics to a particular song, for example. And these are some of the examples that they use to make the point that these are behaviors that a kid can recognize in themselves, but they're just maybe manifested a little bit differently in another kid. And I think it also helps parents see that these kids are really like their own children, and to help them talk to their kids about how to see that every kid is different, every kid has strengths and differences, and it's okay.
A lot of talk about autism is focused on causes and cures. How important is this idea of teaching other people how to work with, how to accommodate the needs of people who have this one significant difference?
I think the idea of a cure is very controversial, and rightly so. I think there are a lot of people with autism who need some help treating some of the symptoms that they experience. But the overarching message that I think people are really trying to convey these days is that everybody is on the spectrum in a certain way, and that we're all, you know, we may all have certain traits of autism. Maybe that's attention to detail, or maybe that's a sort of abiding interest in trains or something else that manifests a little bit strongly in somebody with autism. But ultimately, it's to appreciate and recognize and accept those differences.
Yeah, given that range of ways that autism can manifest itself, is it hard to take a one-size-fits-all approach to create, say, a character like Julia on Sesame Street?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just no way they could have won on this one. You know, I think they really worked very hard on this, and I give them really major kudos for working with people who have autism themselves. My understanding is that they spent years researching this, and they worked with Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, which is a group that represents people who have autism themselves. And I think that's really important. I think a lot of things that come up like this, you know, the organizations don't take the trouble to really talk to people on the spectrum and find out how they want to be represented. And I think that's something they did very well. In this case, they picked a girl, which I'm really delighted by, because I think autism too often gets sort of painted as a condition that only affects boys, and that's absolutely not true. And, you know, Julia has certain quirks that may not show up in all girls with autism. But again, you know, there's this common saying among scientists and doctors, if you've met one kid with autism, you've met one kid with autism, because the spectrum is so diverse and the condition is so diverse that no two kids with autism really look alike. But I think they've done a really good job of trying to capture some of the core symptoms, some of the core characteristics of autism that kids might recognize if they meet another kid on the spectrum.
Talking to Apoorva Mandavilli about autism. She's editor-in-chief of the autism news website Spectrum, reacting in part to the news that Sesame Street is introducing a new character, a Muppet, a girl named Julia, who is dealing with autism. And you recently wrote a piece, Apoorva, on the invisible girls and women with autism. And I want to talk to you some more about that. We do, I think the stereotype, if you think of somebody with autism, you think of a boy, probably a young boy. Talk about the invisible girls and women with autism, please.
So for this piece, I spent a lot of time with some people who are considered high functioning, meaning that they are verbal, they can express themselves, and they can talk about what their experience has been. And a lot of these women go through the experience of not being recognized as having autism for too many years of their lives. One woman in particular, whose story really frames my article, she had multiple diagnoses over the course of her life, and she was misdiagnosed with borderline personality disorder and paranoid personality disorder and anorexia, which she did have, but there were all these things that were masking her autism, and I think that happens a lot with girls because even scientists and doctors who you would expect to know more really think of autism as something that affects boys, and so they're looking for the kinds of things that you would see in a boy. You know, they're looking for an obsession with train schedules or an obsession with things that are spinning or these things that are very characteristically seen in boys with autism. But in girls, that might be an obsessive interest in dolls or in horses or, you know, something that's really very similar to what you'd see in a typical girl, and so it sort of flies under the radar for years before it's picked up.
And because, as far as we know so far, autism is more common in males, most of the research has been there. Is that part of why we're missing the condition for women?
That's absolutely true. I think the current ratio is somewhere between 4 to 5 boys for every girl diagnosed with autism. I don't know exactly where that ratio will pan out if we do end up looking at this more in girls, but the idea is that, you know, so far, because boys are the ones who've been diagnosed with autism, we don't really know a lot about what autism looks like in girls, and there's just starting to be some interest in this. And I think this is similar in a lot of other health conditions, so heart disease, for example, or things like that, where the diagnostic tests and the symptoms that you expect to see are all based on what it looks like in men and in boys. And so the tests that doctors use to even diagnose autism are really based on that, and so they're not looking for the kinds of things that you'd see in a girl. And even in research studies, most studies that we come across, the Spectrum is, you know, a news site about autism, and we cover a lot of research, and just about everything we cover, all of the study participants are usually boys or men. There are very few that include women, and even if they do, there are very few women that are included, so you don't really get a very clear, statistically accurate picture of what autism looks like in girls.
That ratio of boys to girls you mentioned, so that could reflect that boys are way more are more prone to have autism, but it could be that women are and girls are massively underdiagnosed. Is that possible, that the ratio could be much closer than we think?
It could be. Honestly, the answer is we don't know, because we haven't really been looking at autism in girls. I think this is something that's just starting to change, especially in the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years. There's been a huge amount of interest, and maybe we'll see that ratio change. From what I'm gathering from scientists who work in this field, the sort of more severe end of the spectrum, where boys and girls are really severely affected with autism, we may not see much of a change in the gender ratio. But I think where there probably is likely to be a difference is on the higher end of the spectrum, where the kids are able to talk and they are trying to cope. And I think at that end of the spectrum, girls who can cope are doing a really good job of masking their autism and of pretending that everything is okay with them. And so that's maybe where we're likely to see the ratio even out a little bit more. Right now at that end, you know, they think maybe 9 to 10 boys with autism for every one girl with autism, and that might get a little bit closer to 3 or 4 boys to one girl.
One interesting gender distinction you write about is dealing with the teenage years, tween and teenage years, can be difficult enough to navigate for any girl. How much worse is it? How much more complicated is it for a girl that age with autism?
I think it's just absolutely bewildering. I mean, having been through adolescence, I think any woman can attest that it's just confusing to deal with all of the rules in female friendships. And if you're a girl on the spectrum and you have trouble understanding these social nuances to begin with, it can just be completely isolating. And so, as you mentioned, starting in adolescence, these girls just have staggeringly high rates of depression, anxiety, feelings of isolation. Many of them try to commit suicide at some point in their lives. I think that's when they really start to fall off the social community, and that's when they really need help.
We're talking with Apoorva Mandavilli about the new Sesame Street character with autism, a Muppet named Julia, and the difference between boys and girls with autism. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this idea of a new Sesame Street character with autism? What do you think needs to be done to help end stigma around autism spectrum disorders? Do you or someone you know deal with this yourself? And are you in a family with a girl dealing with autism, or maybe you yourself? Call in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You could also post over at the Central Time Facebook page. We pick up our discussion now with science writer Apoorva Mandavilli about the differences in girls and boys with autism and a new Sesame Street character with autism, a Muppet named Julia. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you or someone in your family have autism, what do you want the rest of us to know about it? What kind of stigma do you encounter? What could make it make life a little easier if other people knew what you were dealing with? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to a caller now. We've got Karen on the line in Madison. Karen, hi.
Hi. I just want to call in and talk about a little bit of what it's like trying to find and keep work when you have autism. Especially in my case, I'm on the higher end of the spectrum with what's called Asperger's. So I've been through grad school. I have a master's degree. I almost finished my PhD. So I'm smart when it comes to book learning, but when it comes to social interactions, I have a lot of difficulty. People think I'm bossy and they think I'm rude, even when I'm not trying to be. And that's actually led to me losing one job because... As the guest mentioned before, with women and female interaction, I was in an office that was almost exclusively female, and I did not get the social cues and just ended up getting fired as a result of not understanding what people wanted.
Karen, thank you so much for your call. Good luck in your current and future jobs. Apoorva, Karen's not alone, is she?
No, not at all. I think Karen's story is very common among women with autism, unfortunately. I think, as she mentioned, there are all these social cues that the rest of us sort of intuitively get and respond to. And for somebody on the spectrum, it can be just really confusing to read all these subtle emotional reactions people might have, to read their facial expressions, to figure out when they're saying too much, when to stop talking, when to look at people, when to look away. It's just absolutely dizzying and confusing. And I think that makes it very hard to function in a workplace or at a party or any sort of social setting where you're required to be processing these sorts of social cues on a continuous basis.
Karen, thanks for that call. Apoorva, one thing you write about in talking to some of the people in your piece is that some of the women have figured out how to work around those social cues. They've kind of basically put out flow charts, almost mental flow charts. But it's exhausting. It's something that's really draining to have to do all the time.
Yeah, and it's like they try to figure out the rules as if it's a system and you can learn the system. And you can, to a certain extent. And I think in the story, I talk about Maya, and she has some trouble with social situations that are new, like blurting out divorce statistics at her cousin's engagement party. And, okay, that time she learned that that's not the right thing to do. Her mother explained it to her. But the next time, it might be something else. And so those rules don't really apply. She has to learn them for every single situation. And it can be exhausting to try and figure out, okay, I was supposed to say it in this situation, but not in this situation, and why not? Why is this wrong? And often people with autism really like facts, and they like logic, and not everything about human interaction is logical or fact-based, and that can be just really frustrating.
Talking to Apoorva Mandavilli, she's a science writer, editor-in-chief of the autism news website Spectrum. One very sad part of the story, women with autism at risk of violence, sexual assault, and abuse. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that was a really hard part of the story to report and to listen to. The mother that I spoke to, Carlene, she's been fighting this horrific battle for the last few years trying to get support for her daughter, Lee, who is nonverbal, who really needs around-the-clock care, who can't really care for herself. And so the family is very dependent on these organizations to help their daughter. And yet, because of equal opportunity employment laws,
this place where their daughter lives is now thinking about hiring male attendants, and the family is just beside themselves with worry about how to protect their daughter, and rightly so. And I think this is going to come up more and more, as Carlene, you know, mentioned to me when we were talking, because there are a lot of girls on the spectrum, and they're going to grow up, and some of them are going to need this kind of round-the-clock care, and it's absolutely horrifying that there are no protections in place, that the community, the society as a whole, is not set up to make sure that these women are protected, and that especially people who can't advocate for themselves don't have that sort of structure in place to make sure that they are safe above everything else.
Let's bring on another caller. Yvonne is with us in Lake Geneva. Yvonne, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Listening to the conversation, and as someone who has worked with about 60 women over the last 20 years in mentoring situations, I think I may have come across some people that had this issue. And I'd just like to say that I would have been very open to one of them saying to me, hey, I just want to make you aware of this, and so if I don't respond the way that you think I might, please take that into account, because it would not have made me think any less of them. And that way, that woman doesn't have to suffer in silence and try to go through all the effort of figuring out what to do. I bet there's a lot of us out there who would love to help if we just knew we needed to.
Yvonne, thanks a lot for that call. But that's got, I imagine that's a tough call to make. You could let people know. Maybe they'll understand it and help you work. But there might be stigma. You might not want everybody to know that. How do people approach that in the workplace?
I mean, there's that element that you might not want people to know, and there's also the element that you might not know yourself. I think in a lot of these cases, the women aren't aware that what they have is autism. They've been sort of muddling through, trying to cope and trying to understand, but because it's not diagnosed as often in girls, a lot of them don't really know that they have autism. So they're wondering why they don't fit in, wondering why it's so hard for them to have friendships, why they're not married, why they're so lonely, but they may not always know why. I think that's the first step, is to get to a point where we really, as a society, understand that this is something that can affect girls and women. And I think people like the caller who can now pick up on these things, I mean, that's the hope, that we raise the awareness to the point where even if somebody's not necessarily diagnosed, that we become more tolerant as a society of these differences.
Do you think maybe with the help of this new Sesame Street character and more conversations about this, are we moving in the right direction for that?
I really hope so. There's also a documentary that's out, I believe on HBO, about some girls on the spectrum going to a prom, going to a dance. And I think there's something in the moment right now where it seems like we are really building towards some awareness and some acceptance. And I hope that's the case. I mean, with Julia, I'm not sure what the plans are for actually having her on the TV show. I know that right now you have to go to the website and see the storybook to really get to know Julia as a character with autism. But I hope that changes and that she does make it onto the airwaves. And I think that will really help.
Apoorva, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you.
That was Apoorva Mandavilli. She is a science writer and editor-in-chief of the autism news website Spectrum. She was with us to talk about the differences between boys and girls with autism and the new Sesame Street character, Julia, who will help kids understand and get over the stigma surrounding autism.